بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، صلوات. We had discussed already some of those aqwal in the tafsir of the huruf al-muqatta'at in Quran. And if you remember, I mentioned to you that in total we have 29 surahs of the Holy Quran. 27 are Makkiyah, that means those which are revealed in Makkah, and 2 are Madaniyah. 2 surahs of Quran were revealed in Medina. And these 29 surahs of Quran have the huruf al-muqatta'at. In the beginning of those surahs, we find these broken letters, which are the subject of our discussion in the nights of the month of Ramadan. And if the total number of the letters is 78, but if you drop the repeated ones, it becomes 14. And in total, we have 220 aqwal of mufassirin about the huruf al-muqatta'at. And I think we have talked about 10 of those aqwal up till now. But before we can talk over the rest of the aqwal, I would like to enter into the discussion of riwayat. What does the narrations have to say about the hurufun muqatta'at? And at the end, I intend, insha'Allah, to talk about what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah, what he has in his tafsir, and what is his take on this issue. So if you turn to the riwayat, the narrations about the huruf al-muqatta'at, all the narrations are divided into 10 types. The first is that category of riwayat, that category of narrations which consider that huruf al-muqatta'at are ajza of ism a'azam of Allah. That means these are broken parts of ism a'azam, the greatest name of Allah. This is one set of riwayat. If you look at that, this is what you will learn from those riwayat. The second type of riwayat are those, if you turn to them, you will discover that huruf al-muqatta'at ghaliban are nazar towards the asma'ullah. They are basically pointing us towards the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ijmalan they are nazar towards al-madahir al-khassa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will come to that point, inshallah. The third set of riwayat, if you look at that, you will find out that huruf al-muqatta'at are indicating towards the ism of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth type of riwayat indicate that the huruf al-muqatta'at are indicating towards matalib, which are other than the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will come to that as well, inshallah. The fifth type of riwayat tell us that huruf al-muqatta'at, some of the huruf al-muqatta'at are the names of mawjudun khas, a specific existence which is sharif and noble. The sixth type of riwayat in our books of narrations indicate that the huruf al-muqatta'at are indicating towards ajalul umam, that means the time frame for the life of nations. This is the sixth type of riwayat that we have. The seventh type of riwayat tell us that huruf al-muqatta'at indicate towards the tahaddi, means the challenge. So they are indicators towards challenging those people who are munkir and denying the status of Holy Quran. That's what we learn in the light of the narrations and tafsir, that for those munkireen who deny the fact that the Holy Quran is the word of Allah and is a mu'jiza, these huruf al-muqatta'at are a challenge for them. The eighth type of riwayat tell us that huruf al-muqatta'at are the miftah and key to that surah, key to the chapters of Quran. The ninth type of riwayat tell us that huruf al-muqatta'at are a ramz between Allah and His Messenger. It's a secret code between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the tenth and the last type of riwayat that we have, if you look at that, we learn that huruf al-muqatta'at are safwatul Qur'an. They are the chosen things of the Holy Quran. So these are basically the 10 type of riwayat. So you find inshallah, obviously these all of these things are very important to discuss and to learn and to think about that, and all the possible options which can be acceptable in the eyes of our mufassirin. Now let's go to the riwayat. The first one, like I said, is those category of riwayat which consider huruf al-muqatta'at to be parts of the ism-e-a'zam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is one riwayat, and this is narrated in Tafsir of Ibn Arabi, volume 1, where he narrates this hadith that alif lam mim huwa harfun من حروف اسم الله الأعظم المقطع في القرآن الذي يؤلفه النبي والإمام إذا النبي والإمام الذي إذا دعا به أجيب. That means that ألف لام ميم is a harf from the حروف of اسم الله الأعظم. It is basically harf from the letters of the greatest name of Allah, which is Al-Muqatta, which is broken in the Holy Quran. This obviously huruf are broken in the Holy Quran. These broken letters are part of the greatest name of Allah, and the Prophet and Imam are the ones who can. That's what we learn in the light of the Hadith, that in this narration, that Prophet and Imam is the one who can combine and do ta'alif of these letters. And whenever the Prophet or Imam does the ta'alif of these letters, and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of this letter, their dua is mustajab and accepted. Let's go to the second narration, which is second riwayat of the same category of riwayat that consider huruful muqatta'at to be juz of ism-e-a'zam. And this one is narrated in Tafsir of Burhan, volume 1. This is Ali ibn Ibrahim narrates that Alif Lam Ra huwa harfun min huruf al-ism al-a'zam al-muqatta' fi al-Qur'an. That's the second narration, that Alif Lam Ra. I already discussed, if you remember, that we have some of the surahs starting with one of the huruf al-muqatta'at only, and we have some surahs which are starting with two harf from the huruf al-muqatta'at, and we have some surahs starting which have three huruf from the huruf al-muqatta'at, and we have some which start with four, like Alif Lam Mim Ra, for example, isn't it right? And we have some that start, and Alif Lam Mim itself, which is which is found in six of the surahs. And then we have some that start with four huruf al-muqatta'at, and then we have some which start with five huruf al-muqatta'at. So we don't have a sixth one like kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad. That's the one which starts with five, and ha, mim, ayn, seen, kaf. This one is the second one that starts with the five huruf al-muqatta'at. Although kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad is one considered to be one ayat, separate ayat of Quran, whereas ha, mim is considered to be a one ayat when we count the ayat of Quran, and ha and ayn, seen, kaf is considered to be a second ayat of Quran, which is separate. So we find that earlier the riwayat was about alif lam mim. This one is about alif lam ra, and it says that huwa harfun min huruf al-ism al-a'zam. This is a harf from the huruf of ism al-a'zam al-muqatta' fi al-Qur'an. فَإِذَا أَلَّفَهُ الرَّسُولُ وَالْإِمَامُ فَدَعَ بِهِ أُجِيبَ بِهَا. Whenever Rasul and Imam combines it and asks, that means seeks the dua through it, he is answered. That's the second narration. The third one is also from Ali ibn Ibrahim, and this is also from Tafsir of Burhan, where he talks about Taseen Meem. Huwa harfun min huruf ismillah al-a'zam al-marmuz fil-Qur'an. The Taseen Meem is harf from the huruf of ismillah al-a'zam, the greatest name of Allah. And this is marmuz and hidden in Quran. Another narration which is so this is about the first type of riwayat, like I mentioned, which consider huruf al-muqatta'at to be ajza of the ism-e-a'zam. These are parts, this is not the complete, but this is part of the ism-e-a'zam. Who can combine it? Prophet knows it, Imam Al-Ma'soom alayhi salam knows it, they have the knowledge and they can combine it, and whenever they combine, they can basically, whenever they do the dua through that ism-e-a'zam, it is always accepted. So this is the first type of riwayat. Now the second type of riwayat, which tell us that these huruf are ghaliban nazir towards the asma'ullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are indicating towards the names of Allah, and ijmalan nazir towards madahirun khassa of Allah. So look at this narration from Sufyan al-Sawri, where he narrates that قلت للصادق عليه السلام يا ابن رسول الله. I said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that son of the messenger of Allah. Well, this narration is mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar volume 89. So Sufyan al-Sawri says that I said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, ma ma'na qawlillahi azza wa jal alif lam mim alif lam mim sad alif lam ra alif lam mim ra and kaf ha ya ayn sad and taha wa ta sin and ta sin mim and yasin and sad wa ha mim wa ha mim ayn sin qaf wa nun. Qala alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, according to this narration, amma alif lam mim, as far as alif lam mim goes, fi awwal al-baqarah, in the beginning of the baqarah, fa ma'nahu ana Allahu al-malik. The meaning of that is that I am Allah who is the malik. He is the the mulk belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the kingdom, he has the empire, he has the rule, he is the malik and the sultan and the king. Wa amma alif lam mim fi awwal ali imran. So you see, alif lam mim in ali imran, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, according to this narration, is doing a different meaning for the alif lam mim. Different than the Alif Lam Mim of Baqarah. Now this is the Alif Lam Mim of Ali Imran. So I told you Alif Lam Mim is found in the beginning of six surahs. So it's nothing of surprise. We already believe that even the Bismillah Rahman Rahim of every surah has a different meaning, other than the Bismillah Rahman Rahim of the other surah. So if you look at the tafasir of our Urafa, you know, they always interpret the Bismillah in a different way, because the entire meaning of Bismillah Rahman Rahim is connected with the muhtawa and contents of the surah. So it's not a matter of surprise when Imam, according to this riwayat, is doing a different tafsir of the same Alif Lam Mim in Ali Imran. So according to this narration, Imam alayhi salam says, فَمَعْنَاهُ أَنَ اللَّهُ الْمَجِيدُ. So Alif has been taken as the abbreviation, as standing for Allah, and Lam has been taken for Allah, and Mim has been taken for Majid. Isn't that right? And أَنَ اللَّهُ الْمَجِيدُ. And then وَأَلِفْ لَام مِيم صَاد مَعْنَاهُ أَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُقْتَدِرُ الصَّادِقُ. So now Mim has been taken for Al-Muqtadir and Saad has been taken for As-Sadiq. So we are talking about those riwayat, remember, like I said in the few minutes ago, those riwayat which are mushir, which are indicating that Huruf Al-Muqatta'at are nazir towards Asma'ullah subhanahu wa ta'ala ghaliban. So وَأَمَّا أَلِفْ and then he in this riwayat Imam alayhi salam says وَأَلِفْ لَامْ رَا مَعْنَاهُ أَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّؤُوفُ. So I am the Allah who is رَؤُوف, أَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّؤُوفُ, in other words. And وَأَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ رَا مَعْنَاهُ أَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُحْيِي الْمُمِيتُ الرَّازِقُ. I am the Allah who is Muhyi, the one who gives the life, Al-Mumit, the one who gives the death, Ar-Razib, the one who provides the risk and sustenance. So this is how Alif Lam Mim Ra has been interpreted in this narration. Wa kaf ha ya ayn sad. So ma'nahu anallahul kafi. I am the Allah who is kafi, sufficient, al-hadi, the guide, al-wali. So, well, walaya is actually belongs to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the real, real sense, isn't it right? Because the Holy Quran says, فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِي. So that is, the zamir of huwa has been made muqaddam over the word al-wali, and we have the law that says تَقْدِيمُ مَا حَقُّهُ التَّأْخِيرُ يُفِيدُ الْحَصْرُ. When you bring something which deserves to come later and you bring it in the beginning, ahead, that means that provides the benefit of hasr and inhisar. So only Allah is the wali. So anyone else who becomes the wali, like Rasulullah has the walayat, Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam has the walayat, he is the wali, the rest of the 11 imams have the walayat, or if Malik ibn al-Ashtar al-Nakha'i gets the walayat for Misr because Nahj al-Balagha has the letter maktub of Imam Ali alayhi salam. According to that narration, Imam Ali alayhi salam makes Malik ibn al-Ashtar as the wali of Misr, isn't it right? So the walayat is now being transferred by Imam Ali alayhi salam to Malik al-Ashtar, who is a ghair ma'soom, who is a non-ma'soom. So this letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, according to this narration, is a dalil that Malik al-Ashtar gets the walayat from Imam Ali alayhi salam. So ghair ma'soom, non-ma'soom people can get the walayat from the ma'soomeen. So basically walayat only belongs to Allah, but if Allah gives it to His Messenger or His His a'imma and khulafa, they will have the walayat from Allah. And if the khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the walayat to someone because they are jama'u shara'it, they fulfill the mizan, then they will definitely have the walayat. It's like in today in the time of ghaibat, we have the concept of the walayat today for the faqih. Well, al-alim and the ayn of kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sa'd stands for al-alim, the knowledgeable. Knowledge is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right? That's the reason some of the fuqaha, when they write down the fatwa, if you ask the question istifta from a mujtahid, isn't it right? Usually you find they at the end, they, after mentioning the fatwa, they say wallahul alimu bis-sawab. That means Allah is the only one who is knowledgeable about the correctness. So whatever, what is actually haqiqatan correct, only Allah knows. So fuqaha are only telling us what we call al-hukm al-zahiri, isn't it right? So they are doing ijtihad from the zahir of Quran. They don't have the access to the Allah al-Mahfuz and the what we call al-ahkam al-waqi'iyya, the real rulings of the shari' which are written on the Allah al-Mahfuz. Fuqaha cannot read the Allah al-Mahfuz. Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam can read the Allah al-Mahfuz. So al-alim, only knowledgeable person and only knowledgeable one actually is Allah. So ilm, his ilm is zat for him. It's nothing but his essence. So for anyone else who gets the knowledge, again, just like walayat, anyone else who gets the knowledge, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any knowledge that doesn't lead you to Allah is not called the knowledge. Isn't it right? So a knowledge which does not lead you to Allah is not like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was there, and this is narrated in Al-Kafi. According to that narration, Prophet saw a bunch of people gathered around one person. And according to this narration, Prophet asked, Prophet was told that this person, Qila, Ya Rasul Qila, huwa Allama. This guy is Allama. And someone told the Holy Prophet that he has the ilm al-ansab, ashjar, the family tree of the Arabs. He knows the family tree of the Arabs. This person is the son of this, and his father is this, his grandfather is this, his grandfather is this. You know what? The ilm al-ashjar and ansab. Rasulullah said, ذَكَ ilmun, according to this narration, ذَكَ ilmun la yanfa'u man alimahu wala yudurru man jahilahu. This is a knowledge. Someone who knows it gets that. This knowledge doesn't benefit him. Someone who doesn't know it, this knowledge, not knowing it doesn't harm. Knowing it doesn't benefit, not knowing it doesn't harm. And then he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ ثَلَاسَةٌ. Knowledge only is three. آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ سُنَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. qaribatun adilatun, which in tafsir, our scholars are doing the tafsir of this hadith, they say that it stands for ilm of aqaid, or ilm of akhlaq, or ilm of ahkam. This is what is called knowledge. Any knowledge that doesn't lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not called knowledge. And in another narration we learn, according to that narration, that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, كُلُّ عِلْمٍ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. Every knowledge that does not come out from this house is batil. وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ. And he pointed with his hand towards his own house. So every knowledge that doesn't come out from the house of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is batil. So knowledge is from Allah. Any knowledge which is not divine is not called knowledge. Let's be very clear. Ilm is ilm zat. No one can learn the knowledge except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Books is one of the wasail. One of the wasail. That's not the illatun tamma. That's not the complete cause of a person learning knowledge. There are so many people who go through the books, but you know, they don't have the nur in their qalb. Her ilm is from Allah. Al-alim bizzat, al-alim bizzat is only Allah. So al-alim, ayn stands for al-alim according to this riwayah. And sad, as-sadiq al-wa'ad. The one who is who fulfills, always is truthful towards his promise. Every promise that Allah makes, he's always truthful towards, Allah is truthful towards his promise. وَأَمَّا طَاهَا فَإِسْمٌ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ النَّبِيِّ. And as far as the طَاهَا حُرُوفُ الْمُقَطَّعَاتِ, and طَاهَا is part of the حُرُوفُ الْمُقَطَّعَاتِ, as far as طَاهَا goes, this is a name from the names of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وَمَعْنَاهُ يَا طَالِبَ الْحَقِّ الْهَادِي إِلَيْهِ. That means, oh, the one who seeks the haqq and the one who guides towards it. That means towards the haqq. So Prophet is the one who seeks the haqq and guides towards the haqq. Haqq is also one of the names of one of the asma'ul husna of Allah. Allah is haqq. Isn't it right? So haqq is Allah. So whenever you support haqq in your life, you are supporting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is true to say that. And whenever you are not supporting haqq in any matter of your life, Allah will not be with you in that matter. Haqq is himself. Haqq himself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's his name. It's al-zat. So now, وَأَمَّا, then the riwayat says, وَأَمَّا طَاسِيم. Tonight we are discussing the حروف المقطعات in the light of روايات. وَأَمَّا تَعْسِيم فَمَعْنَاهُ. As far as تَعْسِيم goes, its meaning is أَنَ اللَّهُ الطَّالِبُ السَّمِيعُ. I am the Allah who is the seeker and the listener. Allah is also talib and Allah is also matlub. Isn't it right? He is matlub of kulli talib. Every seeker is seeking nothing but Allah. So Allah listens to everything without any ala, without any tool, without any ear, without any other thing. He doesn't stand in need of anything to listen. He can listen without any ala or tool or any helper. وَأَمَّا طَاسِين مِين فَمَعْنَاهُ. As far as this goes, طَاسِين مِين, its meaning is أَنَ اللَّهُ الطَّالِبُ السَّمِيعُ. I am the Allah who is talib and sami' الْمُبْدِئُ الْمُعِيدُ. مُبْدِئ means the one who initiates. So everything initiated by Allah. He is the مُبْدِئ in Islam. Alhamdulillah, we believe the bud and the aud, the beginning and the end, the initiation of everyone and the end of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything started from Allah, everything will end up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mabda and ma'ad is one and the same. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mabda and he is the starting, and he is the ma'ad, he is the end where everything returns back. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi, towards him, raji'un. We are going back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going back towards him. So mubdi and mu'id means the one who initiates and starts, and mu'id who returns back. Wa amma yasin. As you know, the law of pronouncing in ilm al-tajweed, when we are talking huruf al-muqatta'at, it is not bad for me to discuss this point. The qa'ida of ilm al-tajweed about huruf al-muqatta'at is as follows. Whenever you pronounce one of the huruf, you pronounce it according to how the talaffuz of the letter is. For example, it is written alif, lam, meem. So the first one is written like an alif. Now, this letter, what is the talaffuz of this letter? The talaffuz is not a, the talaffuz is alif. Isn't it right? So you cannot say alam, you cannot say alama, you cannot pronounce it like alama. You have to pronounce it like the talaffuz of the letter. The talaffuz of alif is alif in Arabic. So you have to say alif, and the talaffuz of lam is lam, alif, meem. This is a talaffuz. So you have to say alif, lam, and the talaffuz of meem is meem, ya, meem. So you have to pronounce it as alif, lam, meem. That's first thing. Second of all, any of the huruf of huruf al-muqatta'at, which are three letter words, you have to pronounce it with a mad. So you have to stretch your voice, except those huruf which are which have alif and mamduda at the end. Any harf which has alif and mamduda at the end, we don't pronounce it with the mad, we don't stretch the voice. Any other harf which is have which is a three letter word, we will stretch our voice. If it's a two letter word, you will not stretch your voice. If it is a one letter, you won't stretch your voice. The talaffuz, you're talking about the talaffuz. For example, Saad is one of the huruf and muqatta'at in Quran. What is the talaffuz of Saad in Arabic? The talaffuz is Saad Alif Dal. That's the talaffuz of Saad. So the talaffuz is a three letter word, and it doesn't have alif and mamduda at the end. Alif and mamduda means an alif, and after that there has to be a hamza. This is called alif and mamduda in Arabic, isn't it right? We have alif and maqsura, and we have alif and mamduda. We have the shortened alif in Arabic, and we have this lengthened alif. Mamduda means the prolonged alif. So saad, when the talaffuz of saad is saad and alif and dal, so it is a three letter word, it's not a two, the talaffuz is not one letter or two letter, talaffuz is a three letter word, plus it doesn't have alif and mamduda at the end. So now you have to pronounce this harf of saad with a mad on it. You have to say saad, and the minimum stretch is two alifs. You have to stretch it equal to two alifs if you fold your fingers like this. Saad. Okay, that's how they teach in ilm al-tajweed. So if the, for example, Yasin. So Yasin is part of the huruf al-muqatta'at. Now Yasin has ya in it. What is the talaffuz of ya? Ya, alif and hamza. So it has alif and mamduda at the end in the talaffuz. Isn't it right? We said ya. Ya, alif and hamza. And then seen. What is the talaffuz of seen in Arabic? Seen and ya and noon. That's the talaffuz of seen. So now seen has to be pronounced with a mad because the talaffuz has three letters and doesn't have alif and manduda at the end. But ya cannot be pronounced with the mad because it has, the talaffuz has three letters, but at the end it has alif and manduda. So you will not put the mad on ya, but you will put the mad on seen. So you will say Yasin. Okay? This is the law of pronouncing the huruf al muqatta'at. So for example, if we have kaf, ha, ya, and so on. So how would we do? Kaf has three letters. The talaffuz has three letters, which is kaf, alif, and fa. That's the talaffuz. So you will put a mud on kaf. Ha, you will, there's no mud on ha. Because ha, talaffuz of ha has three letters, but at the end there's alif and mamduda. Yeah, what is the talaffuz of ha? Ha, alif, and hamza. So it is a three-letter talaffuz, but at the end there is alif and mamduda. So there is no mud on ha. Likewise, ya, ayn, sa, ya. Ya, talaffuz of ya has three letters. Ya, alif, and hamza. So again, it is a three-letter talaffuz, but at the end there is alif and mamduda. So there is no mud on ya. So but when it comes to ayn, the talaffuz of ayn is ayn, ya, and noon. It's a three-letter talaffuz. And there is no alif and mamduda at the end, so you will put a mud over the ayn and likewise over the saad. So you would say kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad. That's the law according of how to pronounce. So I hope you got this point. So amma yasin, wa amma yasin, fa ismun min asma'in nabi. This riwayat says that yasin is a name from the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Wa ma'nahu, and its meaning, ya ayyuhas sami' li wahyi, O you the listener of my revelation, my wahy. Wa amma sa'd. Now as far as sa'd goes, فَعَيْنٌ تَنْبَعُ مِنْ تَحْتِ الْعَرْشِ. Saad is a fountain, chashme, fountain that comes out مِنْ تَحْتِ الْعَرْشِ, from under the arsh of Allah subhanahu, under the arsh, under the throne. وَهِيَ الَّتِي تَوَضَّعَ مِنْهَا النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وآله لَمَّا أُرَجَ بِهِ. This is the same fountain from which the Prophet did his wudu when he went on Mi'raj, when Prophet went on Mi'raj, you know, and that's where the tashri' of Salat, legislation of Salat took place. Isn't it right? The first Salat that Prophet prayed was under the Arsh of Allah. He was receiving the Amr, Awamir, Ahkam, directly receiving the Awamir from Allah, and Prophet was obeying. Whatever he is listening, he's obeying. So he prayed the first Salat under the Arsh of Allah, which is according to the tafsir, the Salat al-Dhuhr. And that is the Salat al-Wusta. Hafidhu ala al-Salawat wa-Salat al-Wusta, which is the Salat al-Dhuhr, according to our tafsir. Now, this, when Prophet prayed his first Salat in this current form, previous Anbiya also used to pray. But we are talking about Salat in this current form that we pray today. When Prophet prayed his Salat, first Salat in this current form, obviously that was the Salat of Dhuhr, according to that narration. That's the, you know, in the according to that tafsir, in our Mufassirin have mentioned that. And he did his wudu from the fountain, from the chashma of Saad, which is bursting, it bursts from under the arsh. In some of the narrations, from the pillar, from the Saqil Arsh, from the pillar of the one of the arsh has several pillars. From one of the pillars of the arsh, there's a fountain coming out. Inshallah, in the upcoming nights, we will come a little bit more detail about the this harfun muqatta saad, inshallah, and what my teacher, you know, has said in the tafsir about that. Inshallah, I'll come to that later on. I won't elaborate much here. So the Prophet did his wudu from the fountain of Saad, according to this narration, and then he prayed the Salat al-Dhuhr. So ayn tanba' min tahti al-arsh wa hiya allati tawadda'a minha an-nabiyyu lamma urija bihi wa amma ha mim. So ha mim, we call it hawamim as-sab'a. We have seven surahs in the Holy Quran which start with ha mim. So you don't stretch the ha, because ha has alif and mamduda. You'll stretch the meem There is talaffuz is three letters, isn't it right? Doesn't have alif lam mim. So you would say ha mim. So we have hawamim as-sab'a, seven surahs of Quran that we call as hawamim as-sab'a. So hamim means fa ma'nahu, according to this narration, al-hamidul majid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hamid and he is majid. Wa amma hamim ayn sin qaf fa ma'nahu al-halim al-musib. Al-halim, the one who has the hilm. Al-musib in Farsi, like we say, bodhbari. Isn't it right? Although some of the Urafa, great personalities of ours, they used to say that bodhbari is not the actual translation of this Quranic value of hilm, this Islamic value of hilm. You know, none of our values can be translated into other languages. So these are and hilm, bodhbari, this is something closest to hilm. Al-Musib, the one who rewards, gives the sawab. Al-Alim, the knowledgeable. So instead of what I was telling you, the fuqaha, right at the end of the istifta, وَاللَّهُ الْعَالِمُ بِالصَّوَابِ, instead of writing وَاللَّهُ الْأَعْلَمُ بِالصَّوَابِ, if you say وَاللَّهُ الْأَعْلَمُ, Allah is the most knowledgeable, or more knowledgeable. You can translate the word in two ways in Arabic. Grammatically, both are correct. So if you say اللَّهُ الْأَعْلَمُ means he is more knowledgeable as compared to the rest. Some of the Urafa say this is not the right statement, because you are considering the rest of the people comparable to Allah. There is no muqayasa, there is no muwazana, there is no comparison between anyone else's knowledge and Allah's knowledge, because his knowledge is al-muzzat and everyone else's knowledge is alim bil-arab, not alim bil-dhat. Alim bil-dhat is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's the only one. So instead of calling Wallahu al-A'lam, we should better say Wallahu al-Alim bis-sawab. He is the only one who is knowledgeable, because his knowledge is bizat, not bil-arad. No one made him knowledgeable. You know, a prophet is knowledgeable because Allah gave him the knowledge. Isn't it right? ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is knowledgeable. Zakkani Rasulullah zakkan zakka. According to that narration, Prophet fed me. Is that right? Zakka in Arabic, that word is used like a bird feeds its baby through the beak. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the student of Rasulullah. Is that right? So ana abdun min abid Muhammad, according to some narration. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So, alim is only Allah. As-Sami', the listener, Al-Qadir, Qudrat is again al-Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Qawi is the one who has quwwat and strength. Wa amma qaf. I will mention that, and inshallah we'll leave that for the next lesson inshallah after this. Wa amma qaf, as far as qaf goes, qaf is also one of the harf from the huruf al-muqatta'at. فَهُوَ الْجَبَلْ الْمُحِيطُ بِالْأَرْضِ. So that's, according to this riwayat, is a mountain, and my teacher has said something against this riwayat, which I will mention inshallah. Very soon inshallah we come to that point. So that I will mention later on. But according to this riwayat, Qaf is a mountain, al-muhitu bil-arv, which is surrounding on the earth, and wa khadra'u as-sama' minhu wa bihi yumsiku Allahu al-arda an tamida bi ahliha. So the green of the sky is because of that. So the sky looks the way it looks because of that mountain, so that's what we learn in the light of the narration. And because of that, Allah is holding the earth not to basically be to end with its dwellers, all those who are on it, so earth survives safely. So inshallah, about noon I will mention, I think we are getting close to the time of the adhan, so about noon I'll mention inshallah in the next lesson. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin wa akhdhul al-kuffara wa al-munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasara ad-din wa akhdhul man khadhala al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa ahfadh wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.